All right, perfect. Next speaker is Carol Miles from Washington State. She's going to talk to us about new technology and degradable films.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh. So the title of this presentation is There Is No Away, and this comes from a colleague of mine at BASF. And this is to just remind us all that when you throw something away, there is really no away. It just goes somewhere else. So to keep us all mindful of the use of plastic mulch, this has at least been my motivator in looking at degradable or biodegradable alternatives to plastic mulch, is really to looking downstream and understanding that, you know, it's not disappearing. It's not it's ending up in places we probably don't want to see it. So I'm presenting this along with my PhD student, Suresh, who's there in the back, and he's had one presentation already on some of the data that's in here, another presentation tomorrow, and also we have a poster on some of the data that's in here. All right, so plastic mulch in agriculture, as Josh says, I'm sure we're all aware of all the benefits of plastic mulch. This is why we all use plastic mulch. So it's a great opportunity for us in crop production. And this photo is a photo I took of eggplant production. It's organic eggplant production in the Columbia Basin. You know, plastic mulch is just really integral to good crop production for us in organic eggplant. Looking at the use of plastic mulch in agriculture, it's really hard to get numbers in terms of, you know, quantities of plastic mulch used in agriculture, but in the projected use in 2017 was 1.4 million tons. This is from the Agricultural Films Market Global Trends and Forecasts. Projected polyethylene mulch use in North America in 2017 is 118,000 tons. That's a 24% increase since 2011, and that kind of increase is projected essentially every 4 years, you know, up till as far as we can project forward. So plastic mulch is used all around the world, North America, and the use is increasing, which means the waste is increasing. There are limited recycling options for used polyethylene mulch. Most of this is because it's about 50% contaminated by weight with soil and debris. So in order to go into a recycling facility that has to be cleaned, a recycler that is going to melt that plastic mulch will only accept up to a 5% contamination. So there's a lot of cleaning effort that has to go in this. And many landfills don't accept plastic mulch, especially in those areas that are producing a lot of it. So something to look forward to. The other thing I'd like to just bring to your attention is I'm sure many of us are familiar with the idea of or knowing that there's a lot of plastic debris in oceans. What I want you to realize is 80% of that comes from being disposed of on land. So land use of plastic mulch, land disposal of plastic mulch, is what is impacting plastic waste in oceans. So this has been my motivator in looking at alternatives to plastic mulch, looking at biodegradables. So what is a biodegradable plastic mulch, and how can it be used in agriculture, and is it a sustainable technology? And we feel it is a sustainable technology if it provides equal benefits to polyethylene mulch. I don't think it's reasonable for us to expect our farmers to accept anything less in terms of productivity, crop quality, weed control, et cetera. It reduces labor costs for removal and disposal. So the whole concept of biodegradable mulch is at the end of the season, you plow it down, and you know you just go into your next crop, the next field use. And therefore, you don't have to take it to a landfill. You don't have to dispose of it some other way. And the concept is that it is completely biodegradable. I don't think any of us want to see plastic fragments being produced from these products that we're using. So in order to be considered a real alternative in agriculture, we're talking about completely biodegradable plastic mulch. And to go along with that, it causes no harm to soil ecology or the environment. So as it biodegrades, it's not releasing any compounds that can be harmful downstream. And I've just mentioned that these two photos are some biodegradable plastic mulch in our plots. And where my technician, Ed, there is tilling the biodegradable plastics down into the soil with our plots. So how do you know when you're looking at a list of biodegradable mulches, you go to a farm show, you're looking online, how do you know if what is being advertised as biodegradable is biodegradable? So this is the first of a couple of tables that we started putting together in my program a few years ago, trying to say, okay, well, where do we start by helping each other determine whether or not this new product on the market is biodegradable. So this is just a list of the products that we found on the market as of spring this year. And then what I've done is, so that's the trade name, and then we've given the polymer or the polymer blend. And the idea is that if you can find out what the polymer blend is, And then you look at the next table to determine how biodegradable is that polymer blend in soil, then that might give you some idea of whether or not the product is going to biodegrade in a soil environment. So as I go along with this talk, you'll see that biodegradability in plastics is all based on laboratory tests that are under ideal conditions. There are no field tests determining whether or not these products are biodegradable, but I'll talk about that. So the concept here is if you can figure out what the polymer is, the primary polymer in these biodegradable mulches, and then if you know what the biodegradability of that polymer is in a soil environment, then this will help you determine with any product that comes onto the market how likely is it to be biodegradable. Both of these tables are published. The preceding one was in a paper that we just published this year in Hort Science. And this paper was published, we published this in 2015. So again, this is just some ideas to help us determine as new products come on whether or not it's biodegradable. The other thing I want to point out here is this feedstock bio-based versus hydrocarbon, and I'll get back to that a little bit later. But the idea that biodegradable and bio-based are two separate concepts. It does not have to be bio-based to be biodegradable, and biodegradable does not have to be bio-based. They are separate concepts. So keep that in mind, and I'll come back to it. All right, so this takes me to our project. This is our USDA SCRI project, Specialty Crop Research Initiative project, which is to measure the performance and adaptability of biodegradable plastic mulch for sustainable specialty crop production. And in adaptability, one of their next speaker, in fact, Dr. Jessica Goldberger is here to talk a little bit more about looking at farmers using plastic mulch and whether or not this is going to be adoptable. But this project is what we have going on. This is our second SCRI project, and the field experiments that I'm going to show you are in Mount Vernon, where I'm located, then in Knoxville, Tennessee, where Annette Wasilacki is located. So we have duplicate experiments in both places. The objectives of this experiment are to evaluate BDM, biodegradable mulch, impact on crop production, weed control, and diseases in two diverse climates, compare results of lab-scale standardized tests with our field studies, because right now everything that is published on a plastic, biodegradable plastic, is all lab-based. So the question is, how will those products then perform in the field? Evaluating impacts of repeated mulch use on soil quality. So in our plots, I'll show you a map here and a timeline in terms of, you know, we're plowing these mulches down each year into the plots, and then we're measuring soil quality factors. Quantifying the costs associated with biodegradable mulch usage, and so we have crop budgets and life cycle assessments, and then Jessica's work identifying the bridges and barriers to adoption of biodegradable mulch. And this is Henry and Suresh is in the back of the room. These are two of our PhD students on this project at Washington State University. So these are the treatments that we have in our experiment. We have a bare ground control treatment, and then we have BioAgri. BioAgri produces what's called a green bag. If you're doing composting and you get a green bag and you put all your waste in there and it goes in the compost, that's BioAgri. Experimental PLA, PHA film is something that we had made specifically for our project. It has a known list of ingredients, so it was the only product that we know exactly what's in it so that we can measure biodegradability for the 5 years of the experiment. Nature Cycle is produced by a company just down the road from our research center in Mount Vernon, so it's in Burlington, just a neighboring city. Organics is made with the BASF product. PBAT, sorry, had to think about that. That's their major ingredient. And then polyethylene PE is the standard mulch in this experiment. And then WeedGuard Plus we included as our positive control because it's paper, it's cellulose, 100% biodegradable, and so it's our positive control. And then if you look at the far right column there, you'll see the percent bio-based. So keep in mind that only one product, our experimental product that we had made for the project, is 86% bio-based, and everything else is 20% or less. So all products, excuse me, except for the cellulose, which is 100%. So all biodegradable films, plastic films on the market today are less than 20% bio-based. So that's just something to keep in mind. So the project design, I'm just going to introduce this to you really quickly. Again, it's in Mount Vernon and Knoxville. It's exactly the same experiment in the two locations. We have those seven treatments replicated four times. Plots are four rows by 30 feet long. In 2015 and 16, we had 2 years of pie pumpkin, and again, Suresh has two papers and a poster here talking about those results. And then going forward for the next 2 years, we have sweet corn in Mount Vernon and peppers in Tennessee. We look at weed control because this is one of the primary reasons that farmers use mulch, plastic mulch. And so nutsedge coming through biodegradable mulch is definitely a problem. And then the product on the right, you can see this is something that we see over and over again, that even though that mulch has deteriorated on the soil surface, there are no weeds there. And I think that's an interesting phenomena that we see with biodegradable mulches and something definitely worth understanding more. So looking at that percent soil exposure, these are the first 2 years of our experiment. The top year, so there was a difference due to the 2 years, and on the top year, 2015, this was Nature Cycle at Mount Vernon, or excuse me, at both locations. It was folded in half when we received it. When we unfolded it, that split down, the fold down the middle split wide open, and so it deteriorated really early that first year. The second year, it came in flat, and so you can see the second year, the percent soil exposure was really low by the end of the season. Looking at yield, I'm not going to say too much about this other than just to say that the yield of pie pumpkins with biodegradable mulch was essentially equal to the yield with polyethylene. So, again, we want to make sure we have weed control. We want to make sure we have yield because those are the things that our farmers really need to be assured of when they're considering this as an alternative to plastic mulch. This is our timeline. We're tilling the mulch down at the end of the season, and then we sample soil within a month after tillage and, just prior to tillage and then just prior to spring plot establishment. So twice a year, every 6 months, we are sampling the soil and doing soil quality analyses. And it's a 5-year project. So one of the issues that we have is how do we measure biodegradable mulch in soil? And so this has been part of Suresh's PhD work. There are two main methods that have been used historically. One of them is the mesh bag, which is on the left. You put the plastic mulch or the biodegradable mulch in that mesh bag. You bury it. Then you come back, and we come back every 6 months. We take out a bag. We measure it. But there's a lot of concern that mulch in there is not exposed to the ambient environment around it. So maybe it's an artifact. What we've been doing is we've been using a large golf cup cutter core, soil core, and I don't know if you can see the piece of plastic mulch just sitting right there. I don't know if you can see that. So we sample the soil, and then we clean that out, and then we say how much plastic mulch is in there. The problem with this method is that, and we just published this paper. It's in press right now. The problem with this method is that the variability is very high. So here's just one example. The maximum amount of mulch that we retrieved from the samples was 95%. Bring that back, 95%. The minimum amount was 14%. The average was 46% in Mount Vernon, 87% in Knoxville as a maximum, 49%. And so you can see that variability is just huge and completely unacceptable. So the soil core sampling method, we feel, is not a reliable, not a valid method for determining how much mulch is left in the soil. So part of Suresh's PhD project is to create a new soil sampling methodology to determine how much mulch is left. So the last thing I want to touch on is the use of biodegradable plastic mulch in organic agriculture. I don't know how many of you work in organic agriculture. It's certainly something that I'm very interested in. In 2014, 3 years ago, biodegradable mulch was added to the list of allowed substances for the National Organic Program. As long as it meets these 5 standards, it must be bio-based. So what's the maximum percent of bio-based content in a biodegradable mulch? 20%. So none of the mulches are bio-based, therefore none of them meet the rule. Must be produced without the use of non-bio-based synthetic polymers. 80% of the mulch is non-bio-based, so therefore it doesn't meet number 2. Must be produced without organisms or feedstocks derived from excluded methods. These are GMO. All the plastic biodegradable mulch is produced with GMOs. Not necessarily feedstock, and so this is something you have to be careful about because I will tell you this. Your supplier will tell you it doesn't use GMO corn. That's not the point. They use GMO bacteria to ferment the corn to make the polymer. That is not allowed. And you have to really dig into that information. They will not tell you that up front. There is no biodegradable plastic mulch available in the United States that's on the market that is not made with GMO bacteria in the fermentation process. So just be aware. Has to meet the compostability standards. Now, compost and field are two very radically different environments. So even if it meets the compostability standards, how likely is it to meet biodegradability in the field? You know, not, right? But it has to start somewhere. And then the final criteria, it has to reach 90% biodegradation within 2 years. So 10% can remain, according to this rule, in perpetuity. So something to just kind of keep in mind. It's not designed that way, but realistically, it could. So currently, no biodegradable mulch is approved for use in organic agriculture. However, keep in mind, plastic film is approved. Keep in mind that paper mulches are. So WeedGuard Plus, for example, is allowable in organic agriculture. It's one of the products we include in our studies. And I strongly, strongly encourage you and your farmers, if you're going to be using a biodegradable plastic mulch in agriculture, any product, check with your certifier first, okay? Do not believe what the manufacturer tells you. I've seen products labeled organic, and they are not allowed in organic agriculture. So, you know, buyer beware, and it's really up to you to figure it out. The other part of the rule, which is a little bit buried, and I think this is something for us who work with farmers, we really have to, I think, be very conscious about this, is the grower is responsible if the product doesn't biodegrade in their field. So it has to reach that 90% biodegradability in 2 years. This means that in theory, if the inspector comes out, finds that there's more than 90% of the product left, that grower can be in non-compliance and they can lose certification. So that's what the rule reads, and so I think it's our responsibility to protect our growers. Bio-based is not biodegradable, okay? They are not equivalent. So an example of a bio-based ingredient that does not biodegrade in soil is PLA, polylactic acid, 100% bio-based, great product, but it does not biodegrade in a soil environment. It's compostable, but not biodegradable in a soil environment. Synthetic ingredients that biodegrade in soil are PCL, PBS, PBAT. These are primary ingredients in many of the plastic mulches, biodegradable plastic mulches, but they are not bio-based. So do not confuse bio-based with biodegradable. We published most of this information. It's in a recent paper in Hort Science just a month or so ago, a couple of months ago. So if any of this is of interest to you, it's available. And we have a website, biodegradablemulch.org, where all of our publications, all of our information is available as well. And then I just need to make a big shout out to our team. We're a lot of people working on this project. This happens, you know, with a lot of effort by a lot of people. So thank you very much. And I don't know if I have time for questions. Thank you.